This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The Australian Bureau of Statistics will be giving all eligible Australians the opportunity to express their view on whether Australian marriage laws should be changed to allow same-sex couples to marry. Survey forms will be sent to all eligible Australians on the Commonwealth electoral roll. To participate, you must be enrolled. To enrol, check or update your details, visit the AEC website, search AEC or visit an AEC office. The roll closes Thursday, August 24. Authorised by the Australian Bureau of Statistics, Canberra. Spoken by Jake Downs.
Joy sponsor.
This is Well, Well, Well. Sex, health and well-being in our LGBTI communities.
Presented by Joy sponsor VAC.
Good evening and welcome to Well, Well, Well. Brought to you each week by VAC, the Victorian AIDS Council. Every week we tackle all things sex, sexual health and the overall health and well-being of our LGBTI communities. My name is Tex and I'm joined this week by my co-host Jack. G'day Jack, how are you?
Very well, thanks Tex. It's good to be back on air.
It's great to be back on air with you, and we do have to say thank you to the team that brought us Outtakes, the previous show.
Now, Tex, what have we got on lined up for us today? What are we chatting about today?
This week, we're chatting with Wendy Brokenshire from Victorian AIDS Council's LGBTI Intimate Partner and Family Violence Counselling and AOD Services Program, where she's the program coordinator. And then we're also going to be chatting with someone who's no stranger here on Joy, none other than leading Senior Constable Gabby Tyack from Victoria Police's LGBTI Liaison Team. The topic for this show this week is LGBTI family violence. But first, Jack, let's hear some gorgeous music. This is Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Joining Jack and I this evening are Wendy Brokenshire as we chat about LGBT family violence and Gabby Tyack from Victoria Police's LGBTI liaison
This
team.
Is Well, Well, Well.
Welcome,
here
Gabby
on Joy
and
94.9.
Wendy, down to begin with.
And thanks go to our short intro, Wendy Brokenshire,
to yourself and how long you've been doing
and leading
your
senior
role in your present
Gabby
position
Tyack
from First,
Victoria
Wendy.
Police.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show tonight. It's really good
team.
To be here.
You can check out the VAC website. Go to vac.org.au, look up LGBTI health and legal
in my current
relationships
role as the
and family
violence.
Coordinator
for family violence.
And you can contact your local LGBTI
that,
liaison
role,
officer or GLOW if you like on 9247 6944. That's here in Melbourne, 039 247 6944.
But highly experienced in the field.
Or you can contact GLOW by going to this website, melbourne.gllo@police.gov.
And AU. I've been doing that.
Next
role
week,
for
Liam and Michael will be here
time.
Talking all
and
things
prior
sexually
to that,
adventurous.
I worked in a few regional
and the Laird's Hotels,
doing
a week
role,
of leather and fetish. Tune
in
then. Cheerio, everyone.
Like
this is Well, Well, Well.
On
Joy 94.9. Here are messages and some music.
Police.
See you next
so
week, everyone. Bye bye.
Cheers. Bye bye.
Two different states and really enjoying doing the role that I'm doing now.
And chose the better state. That's great to hear. Now, Gabby, can you give us and perhaps our listener a brief rundown on what the LGBTI area of Victoria Police is all about?
For sure. So the GLOW started in Victoria Police in around late 2000, and that came as a result of community consulting with Victoria Police and saying that they didn't feel like the police were servicing the LGBTI community and that they didn't trust the police and that something needed to be done to make the community feel safer and more comfortable and confident coming to the police. And so out of those conversations was the first gay and lesbian liaison officer started in Victoria Police. And the role was basically to be a conduit between the community, the LGBTI community, and Victoria Police so that people could go to the GLOW and know that they would get a positive response because there were a lot of barriers and a lot of history that weren't particularly positive that we would all be aware of, and so they would that would make them feel safe enough to go to that person and say, well, this happened to me, what can you do? And out of that we have now over 200 across the state who are doing that role.
So from 2000 you had one to today 200 plus.
Yes, and growing.
That's fantastic. Now, tonight's show is all about LGBTI family violence. Now, on the VAC website, the Victorian AIDS Council's website, there's this statement, and I'm doing some air quotes here for the listener. Relationship and family violence within LGBTI communities is known to occur at the same rates as for heterosexual relationships, if not higher, for some communities such as trans and gender diverse communities. It goes on to say that research has informed us that 1 in 3 LGBTI people experience intimate partner and or family violence from a partner, ex-partner, or a family member, inclusive of family choice. Now, Wendy, after that long involved statement, is that your experience? Is it 1 in 3? Processes go,
We probably don't capture that data exactly as it's worded on the website. That information comes from Australian-based research undertaken by GLHV in their Private Lives 2 mm-hmm. study. And they surveyed about 5,500 LGBTI people, and 33% of those people indicated they'd been exposed to or experienced intimate partner or relationship violence. The other source of information is the SWASH report that is relevant for LBQ women, particularly in the New South Wales context. And that study indicates that 32% of women who complete the SWASH report survey have also been exposed to that level of intimate partner violence. So the stats are disturbing, to say the least.
Gabby, are the stats from the police more or less similar to what's reported through the research and for the VAC promotes on their website? 1 in 3 is significant.
I don't have any of the stats available to me in relation to what we receive and what jobs we attend. However, I'm aware of both those reports that Wendy spoke of. And so I go into my job, and when I go out and give presentations and talk about family violence, they're the stats that I talk about, what the research tells us. And so I tell everyone that I speak to that family violence occurs in LGBTI relationships at similar rates. Mm-hmm. And I do believe it's probably very similar, 1 in 3.
Yep.
Okay, that's really helpful. Now, I'm interested in how both of you see this question or understand this question. I'd welcome an answer from both of you. What does family or domestic violence look like, or what's your understanding of it? And here, for the benefit of the listener, I'm using air quotes again. For example, is violence always physical, or are there other forms as well?
Well, how we used to look at family violence was physical. So if police attended any kind of incident and it was relating to family and there was an argument, back in the old days, we would just think it's just a family issue and we wouldn't respond unless there was physical violence involved in physical injuries that were visible. But now that's totally different. We understand family violence to encompass a whole lot more than that. It's not just physical violence. It's mental abuse. It's withholding money. It's putting pressures on people and preventing them to do certain things. There's a whole different range of things that completely not involve physical violence at all, but it's still encompassed in how we see family violence. So we must respond as police to family violence in all the ways that it presents itself to people. So if we go to an incident now and there's no physical violence, we still have to speak to both parties and find out what's going on. And if we believe family violence is involved, then we have certain processes we have to abide by.
Sure, you unpack what the underlying issues could be that aren't obvious, perhaps.
Absolutely.
Wendy?
The services we provide and the community members that come to VAC to seek support for these sorts of issues, they will talk about physical violence as being the most, well-known or connected sort of type of violence. Mm-hmm. But as Gabby said, there's psychological violence, there's emotional violence, there's social violence, financial, spiritual violence, and we have a range of presentations where those types of violence are expressed by the people that we're supporting in our services.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Joining Jack and I this evening are Wendy Brokenshire and Gabby Tayak from Victoria Police's LGBTI liaison team. And, of course, Wendy is from the Victorian AIDS Council, and we're exploring issues around LGBTI family violence. Now, This is an interesting question. Do people always know they're being abused? And I'm thinking here of, you mentioned some forms of non-physical violence, like spiritual violence and emotional violence. Do people always know they're being abused?
No, I don't think they do always make that connection for themselves. I think what's important also to understand about this topic is that some people come to us for couples counselling, for example, and they are experiencing a degree of conflict in their relationship. And we sort of educate people to say that conflict in relationships is generally, you know, kind of part of the deal. The difference is that if that conflict shifts into a space where people are feeling unsafe in their relationship, then we would be unpacking that a bit further and asking more specific questions about what actually is happening in the sort of interpersonal relationship patterns in that context. So no, I don't think people always do consider themselves being exposed to relationship violence.
And interestingly, Tex, I was told quite a few years ago that there was some of the barriers for LGBTI people reporting family violence was the belief and the myth, I suppose, that men can't be involved in family violence because if they're abusive or rough with each other or hitting each other, that's just a natural thing that men do.
Exactly.
And women can't hurt each other because they're women, so they can't physically hurt another woman. Obviously, that's a myth. And I thought that had gone out the window and people weren't thinking those things anymore. But when I went to a family violence forum not too long ago, that actually came up as part of the reasons why people aren't reporting family violence. So they still exist. And absolutely untrue, men and women can commit family violence and can harm each other. And so there are lots of things and belief systems, I suppose, in all of the community, but also in the LGBTI community, different barriers and different beliefs which are making people firstly not recognise behaviours as family violence and then not reporting them to police or other services.
Do you think it's possible that if someone hasn't, and it feeds into the point you were just making, Gabby, if somebody hasn't talked to the police before, or maybe they've got an old-fashioned traditional view that police from the bad old days, and so they fear if they went to the police they'll be judged by the police or perhaps not even believed. So is that part of the equation? But Gabby, perhaps if you can answer. Yeah. And then Wendy, can you report on that?
Well, there's
as well?
Two parts to that answer, actually, because some people do think those things and don't think that the police will believe them or don't think the police will take them seriously. But also part of family violence can be when the partner is saying, well, the police won't believe you, or because you're LGBTI, there's no point reporting it because they're not going to respond and they're homophobic and transphobic. So there's two sides to that. But absolutely, That's not something that you should consider. If you're a victim of any kind of violence and you want assistance and you want to help, you can speak to a police officer or a GLO. We're there to assist. And I mean, we know that if you're involved in family violence, it's not going to stop. It's just not going to. You have to take action. Both parties would be great if they both took action. So the person who's committing the violence could try to learn ways to deal with whatever issues they're suffering from that caused them to take part in this behaviour, and the victim should also get some counselling but also speak to police. So both parties can certainly should try and do something to correct those behaviours.
Wendy?
Yeah, I agree with everything that Gabby just said. Also, I'd like to say that we at VAC run a program for men who use violence in their relationships. It's called Revisioning, and it's aimed at same gender attracted men. And we find in our assessment process with both the participants in that program and if they have partners or ex-partners still in contact, that when they have had experiences of calling police to assist, we've had two occasions where the male couple have experienced police saying to them, you know, is there a woman in the house? You know, what's happening here? That they're not really sure how to go about applying some of their very fine assessment skills as a first responder to the current situation. Having said that, though, I totally think that things are on the improve, and I think that police are trying to become more well-educated and change their approach to these sorts of call-outs. So I think it's a work in progress.
This is Whoa, Whoa, Whoa here on Joy 94.9. Joining Jack and I this evening are Wendy Brokenshire from the Victorian AIDS Council's Counselling Unit and from the Victoria Police LGBTI Liaison Team, the wonderful Gabby Tyack.
Now, just before the music, we were talking about the role police have to play. And Gabby, has the introduction of GLOWS helped remedy the situation? Can you expand upon how change has occurred within the police force?
Yes, certainly. With GLOWS, we do training with other police members, and with the increase in GLOWS and the increase in work that we're doing, we've certainly, as a organisation, Victoria Police has been linking in with our LGBTI reference group, so we're getting advice from the community, and making sure that for family violence, when we're doing training with members, we are actually including scenarios that include LGBTI people, so that members aren't just doing, well, it's a man and a woman, and the man's the aggressor and the woman's the victim, because that's how it always used to be viewed. We're putting in all the different situations and really complicated scenarios where it might not be just two partners. It might be parents and children in when we're looking at family violence, because we know that there's what we're seeing is we're identifying that children or young people are becoming victims of family violence, especially if they're coming out to their parents as genderqueer or LGBTI and the parents are not able to accept that and there's violence involved, they're being kicked out of home. So there's a lot of family violence around those scenarios that we would never have identified before. So we're just making sure that with our training, we do online training, especially for family violence, because it's quite a big issue that gets a lot of media attention, and a lot of our jobs involve family violence. So we have to make sure that as police, we're trained to know how to respond to all kinds of situations.
A lot of work being done.
I'd like to separate relationship and non-relationship violence with this question as we discuss LGBTI, intimate and family violence. Are there common types of violence that perhaps LGBTI folks experience that may be different to outside of the wider community?
I think some of the areas of concern that we see a lot of can sometimes be around sexual violence and also things like people worrying that they're going to be outed in their workplace for their sexuality, mm-hmm. or for example their HIV status, you know, things of that nature. They're the top ones that come to mind right now.
Yeah, outing people, it's one that people wouldn't necessarily think is a form of violence, but the threat, the fear that entails of being outed about sexuality or HIV status, very real issues.
They're very real issues. They're very current issues with some of the community members that we're providing support to right now. So even in this sort of progressive time that we live in, people are still worried about those sorts of lived experiences, you know, being disclosed without their knowledge or certainly without their consent.
They're sort of the subtle forms of relationship violence, I think, that people don't talk about. Gabby, do you have something to...
Yeah, another example, when you're speaking of medication, so for people who are transitioning from gender to another, they're getting their medication withheld. We're looking at seniors who may be going into nursing homes or aged care facilities who their children who are putting them into the facilities or assisting them are telling them to go back into the closet or telling them to revert back to the gender that they were born as so that they don't cause any complications or any trouble at the aged care facility.
Don't you cause trouble for the family by just make it
so,
easy for us.
I mean, that's also an example of family violence.
And something that people wouldn't necessarily think about.
No.
I've got an interesting question here. What's your understanding of safe words or alternative words, perhaps, to just saying no, I don't want to do that, or no as a word? What do you think about safe words?
Well, my understanding about safe words is that if they're going to be put in place for any particular reason that's around, say, sexual pleasure or sexual activities, it's very much around implying that there's a mutual consent about whatever activity is being engaged in. So invoking a safe word in that sort of scenario means that the person who's saying, you know, I need to use my safe word to stop what's happening now, is actually withdrawing their consent. And if that's not respected, then you find yourself, well, that person would find themselves in a situation where, you know, violence is being perpetrated upon them.
And I think sometimes it's a good idea to have a safe word because the word no can be taken in different ways, and it might mean no for some particular type of behaviour, but the person isn't really understanding you mean no, stop completely. So even though we always say no means no, and of course it does, in some circumstances people aren't interpreting it to mean no, even if the person using that word means it to mean no. So it might be good to use the word no, but if it's not being listened to have that safe word to make sure the person responds as you want them to. So having said that, I just want to make it very clear that when someone wants a behaviour to stop, in a sexual activity I'm talking about, then no means no. Any word means no if that's what they intended to mean. You have to stop. It's not up to the other person to make that decision. If they say no, that's it.
Now, should someone be listening to this broadcast now or listening to the podcast later, and they are identifying with what we're talking about, we've mentioned the police before. People could go to the police or could contact FACT. Is there any other service that we should consider that's worth mentioning here in this space?
I think there are a number of services that people can connect with. If people just want to start to think about educating themselves about what they think they're experiencing, there are a number of really helpful websites that actually people can go to. There's the Domestic Violence Resource Centre website gives lots of really valuable information for, you know, mainstream community and the LGBTIQ communities as well. There's also a website called idecide.org.au, which is a really brilliant website where people can take a self-assessment survey online and check the health of their relationship. There are services at Drummond Street Services known as Queer Space. They provide lots of individual counselling, couples counselling, as do VAC with our counselling services. There's a number of them. I'll think of more. Gabby, what do you think?
When you're trying to figure out if you are experiencing intimate partner violence or family violence, sometimes talking to a GLOW can help. I do a lot of that. People call me and just talk about some things that they've experienced, and then I discuss to them what my advice would be. However, if you're going into a police station and talking to police about family violence, we do have to respond. So I would advise, if you're just asking for some advice, do it over the phone. Because we're mandated basically to respond to any type of family violence that comes across our...
I think that's an important thing, a point to make, that you can seek out a GLOW person for just general advice before it becomes any formal process.
Yes.
Yep. Wendy, you...
I'd also like to add that sometimes a softer landing place to start exploring this material can be to seek out someone that you really trust and just have a conversation. It might be a family member, it might be a friend, it might be someone from your family of choice. Sometimes people just want to have a discussion to clarify what they're thinking and how they're feeling about what they're experiencing. So that can be a really legitimate way for people to move into the next stage of finding out more information.
There's also a service that, Gabby, you would know, because Carolyn Worth from the South East Centre Against Sexual Assault regularly comes in and does training at the Victorian AIDS Council, as Victoria Police do in the LGBTI liaison team. And there are centres against sexual assault across the state. I can't remember. She does often say how many there are. And of course, it's gone completely out of my head.
Yeah, so they would be suitable for sexual violence. Mm-hmm. But if it was any other type of violence, I would suggest the other services that Wendy spoke of, because they are for sexual assaults.
This is Well, 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 presented by Joy sponsor VAC on Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And joining Jack and I this evening are Wendy Brokenshire from VAC Counselling and Gabby Tyack from Victoria Police's LGBTI liaison team. And we've been having a chat tonight about LGBTI intimate and family violence. Now, Wendy, we've explored issues around this topic this evening. What are the services that VAC offers to people who may be affected by family or relationship violence?
So if we use two different categories, if we talk about people who may be experiencing violence in the first instance, so we provide counselling services for individuals and also for families. If they have concerns, family members can contact and talk to us about their concerns about their loved one who may be exposed to that type of violence. We also have alcohol and drug services, because sometimes that is a factor in intimate partner violence. I'm not saying it's a cause, I'm just saying it can be something that exacerbates the experience of violence. And in our actual family violence service area, we have now, through the support of the state government, family violence flexi support packages. Now, that's quite a mouthful. What that actually means is that we provide a limited financial subsidy to people who are thinking about leaving a relationship that they feel unsafe in, or they've recently left a relationship and for reasons of financial burden they're struggling to remain independent. So to get more information about those flexi support packages, just go to the VAC website, look under the connecting point LGBTI Health, and then you'll see the link to Relationship and Family Violence Services. For people who might be identifying as using relationship violence, we provide a men's behaviour change program called Revisioning, and that's for same gender attracted men who are perpetrating violence in their intimate or family relationships. More broadly than that, through the LGBTI community, if you identify as someone who thinks that you may be using violence in your relationships, probably a good place to come land at VAC in the first instance is the counselling services area, where we'll assist you to understand what's happening in that context. So that's about what we're doing at VAC.
Is it unusual for people who are perpetrating violence to actually refer themselves, to come along and refer themselves and say, hey, I'm finding that I am being violent?
That's a really astute comment. Yes, it is a very difficult thing for people to do, but more and more we're noticing that people are being a little more open and a little, perhaps a bit more courageous actually, to identify that those are some of the behaviours that they're engaging in. We do very thorough clinical assessments at the front end of service, and so we ask specific questions just to help people along in terms of, you know, disclosing perhaps.
And Wendy, just finally, is there a cost involved for people to attend counselling and to indeed the revisioning group which you've mentioned?
The counselling service is a fee-for-service program. Mm-hmm. The AOD service is at no cost. The family violence services have minimal costs. To attend revisioning, it might be as low as $5, you know, per week over a 12-week period. So there's a variety of structures, I guess, around payment. But we would never stop anybody from accessing our services for reasons of financial burden.
Now, Gabby, should members of the LGBTI community who may be interested or experiencing some of these issues, is it best that they call 000, or is there a specific GLOW number to call to contact yourself?
Well, there is a GLOW number, but I would suggest that if you are in an emergency and you need police assistance, to call 000. If you wanted to speak to a GLOW, you can look up on the police website and there's a list of all the GLOWs and where they are. So you'd probably want to speak to a local GLOW and make contact with your local GLOW.
If they just want some general advice, just go through the local GLOW.
Yeah, definitely. But any police officer will assist you. If it's family violence related or any kind of incident, any police officer will assist you. It's only contact a GLOW if you're feeling like you're a bit concerned or feeling unsure of contacting police. But that we're all trained. Yep. All police officers are trained to deal with every situation.
Okay.
Wendy and Gabby, it's been great to have you in this evening. It's been really wonderful. And I'm sure this information, which of course is going to live on in our podcast, will be able to help people down the track into the future. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
This is Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9.
And our thanks go to our guests, Wendy Brokenshire from VAC's counselling team and leading senior constable Gabby Tyack from Victoria Police's LGBTI Glow team. You can check out the VAC website. Go to vac.org.au, look up LGBTI health, and there you'll find relationships and family violence.
And you can contact your local LGBTI liaison officer, or GLOW if you like, on 9247 6944. That's here in Melbourne, 039 247 6944. Or you can contact GLOW by going to this website, melbourne.glo@police.vic.gov.au. Next week, Liam and Michael will be here talking all things sexually adventurous and the Laird's Hotel's A Week of Leather and Fetish. Tune in then. Cheerio, everyone. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. Here are messages and some music. See you next week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.